right, thank you, gentlemen. At this time, it's my honor to introduce our speaker tonight. It's going to be our pastor, Brother Barry Parsons, and it's a blessing to have him here to be able to do this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you wouldn't, go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we wanted to schedule and had planned tonight for a speaker that was somebody that y'all may have heard of, Dr. Mickey Carter. Amen. And we left this spot open for him for every year for the future. As the Lord, I believe he's going to live forever. Amen. Amen. And that would be my will until Jesus comes. Amen. And so may not be his will. I can tell you. Amen. But tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want to preach to a charge to our graduates. You've been here. Some of you have gone through directed study. Some of you have studied and done both and tried to come to a place, continually serving God along the way. But tonight is that pinnacle moment where you'll get your degree and everybody will believe that you know it all. Right? That's what this moment is supposed to be, at a time where everybody's going to look to you and you've worn the dress. And some of you longer than others, amen, and as one of our ladies, amen, and two of our ladies here. So, but again, for us, as we look at it, here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church who had struggles. If we could say it, there was a church in the New Testament age that Paul wrote to, the Corinthian church had struggles, and we all have struggles. Every one of us have battles. Every one of us have besetting sins. Every one of us have struggles, but you guys have set yourself aside for the Lord to follow him and to really, for my sake, if I could say it this way, to really be used of God for however he sees fit. In the scripture here, he's going to make a statement that is I thought was profound, and hopefully you'll be able to take this with you. We do believe in the Word of God. I appreciate the men singing tonight. And we're not. If you'll look at the last verse, you know that the chapters and verses were not put into the Bible, these epistles, these letters, until later on. And so the continuation of the thought is still the same. He's writing a letter from the apostle's heart. And he says in chapter 2 and verse 17, he said so much in the first two chapters about how he doesn't want to handle them in a rough way. He wants to care for them. He could have come unto them already, but he didn't want to come and seem rough when he showed up. He said all these different things, and then he says in the 17th verse of chapter 2, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." Paul says we're not like, there's a lot of people in this world, and I'm speaking a charge to young men and women that will go out of here and they'll know where you came from, and we stand on the book. And we're not as other people who twist the word of God deceitfully, as those that would corrupt the word of God, that would take the Greek and the Hebrew and twist it to make it sound and be whatever they want it to be. That's not who we are. That's not who we taught you to be. That's not who we trained you to be. We taught you to be people, as it's going to say here in the scriptures, epistles of Christ. That's the title tonight, epistles of Christ. Look at chapter 3. He says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation for you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ." You see, you don't spend 4 years in a church without getting into our hearts. You see, you'll leave here, but you've got a second home. You may have a church that you call home and a place, but you don't come here and spend any amount of time without us feeling like you're a part of us and that we're a part of you. You don't leave here and take something without taking something with you, and without returning to this place and realizing. I know for me, when I left home in Maryland and came down here, I thought I spent 30 years in the same church, and I never thought there could ever be a church that had its heart and soul and be a part knit inside of me. But when I came to this place and I was taught and pastored and helped and invested in, and they wrote upon my heart the word of God. And this place that changed, this became my family. This became home. This became a landmark in my life to look back to. And when I went out from there, people read me as an epistle, not of landmark, but of Christ.
Amen.
Because this place never lifted up a man, it lifts up Christ.
Amen.
It lifts up his book. I want you to see here in verse 3, it says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." You know the word epistle? It's defined this way: a writing directed or sent, communicating intelligence to a distant person. The term is used chiefly, this is the 1828 dictionary's definition, the term is chiefly or solemnly or formally made for transactions. That means any time that you're meeting with somebody that you're, listen, I don't know about you, but I came to this Bible college so that I could intelligently tell someone else about the Word of God. So that I could learn what I did not know that I even didn't know. So that it could be invested and written upon my heart, and that I could go out and bear my heart or pour out my cup for what was poured into me in this place. And all we want for you is to leave this place and to be epistles of Christ, to be read of all men, and for people to look in your life and say there's something different about them. There's sincerity in them. They have sincerity. They have intelligence about the Scriptures. They're not like others that corrupt the Word of God or twist it to fit their own desires and ends, but they speak the truth in love. They teach the blessed old book. Amen. I want you to see here, number one, I want verse 3. I believe we see that we are written by God. Look at the Scripture again. "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." Do you know you're not an epistle written by Brother Parsons or Dr. Mickey Carter? You're not an epistle written by Dr. Jim Morgan or by someone else. You're not going to leave here and stand up for me. The person, if you go out and soil your character or you preach outside of this and you take your diploma, you won't reflect on me. Maybe a little bit. But the person that your testimony will mostly reflect upon is Christ. Listen, you'll leave from the Landmark Baptist College and you'll go out and people will read your life. But you must be, if you're going to be what you ought to be, if you're not going to faint in this life, you're going to have to be written by God. Your time here, I believe that the graduates that are going to stand and walk across this platform are deserving because they put in the time to have their hearts written upon by Jesus Christ. Written by the Spirit of the living God. Boy, I don't know about you, but that gives me something. You know, there was a day that the independent fundamental Bible-believing church wouldn't use the word Spirit or Holy Spirit very often. But you can't separate the Holy Spirit from a triune God. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from an active, powerful Christian. You can't separate the Holy Spirit from the work of God on earth in our day. And we send you out as epistles of Christ, written on by the Spirit of the living God. Number two, I want you to say, look on with me. We'll see in verse number 5 that we're kept by God. You're not just written by God, but you're kept by God. "As such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Do you know too many times we want to go out here, if God wrote the Spirit of the living God wrote this epistle, then who's going to take care of it? Do you know there are too many men that think that this book was preserved by a bunch of other men? Or that the church throughout the ages kept this book and handed it down for us? Now, God may have used the church, but there are some supernatural periods throughout history that you can't find who in the world kept this book. But I'm going to tell you, it was God.
Amen.
God is the one that promised to preserve this word.
Amen.
It was God that said that he was going to hand this down and it would be preserved for every generation. Hey, there are a bunch of people that don't believe we have the perfect Word of God in our hands because they don't believe in God. Anytime that you don't think this book is perfect, you're not casting anything upon me or someone else that lifts it up and holds it high, because God, listen, that I don't know if you remember what the book says, but God says that he's magnified his word above his very name.
Amen.
God kept this book.
That's right.
And if he can keep this book, then he can keep the epistles that he written in Christ.
Amen.
If he can keep this word, then he can sure keep you. If God can take care of you, if he can write you, then he can keep you through the years. You know, there'll be time that you'll think, man, the word sufficiency, this is when you're going to have problems. This is when you're going to get too big for your britches. Too big for your skirts, ladies, all right? I just want you to know, you know what happens when you start thinking you're sufficient? That you're a pretty good preacher. That you're a pretty good lecturer, ladies. That you're a pretty good Sunday school teacher or bus captain or whatever. Instead of thinking, it's Christ and him alone that fulfills my sufficiency. It's him and him alone. You know, I think back, whenever I think of the word sufficiency, you know, it means adequate. Do you know that sometimes when you graduate and you walk across this platform and you hold that, you may think that that piece of paper makes you adequate to serve God. That piece of paper don't mean a hill of beans. It just means you were faithful. It means you were faithful to be written upon for a certain amount of time. And people can take that and say, well, if the Landmark Baptist College put their stamp of approval on them, maybe they're all right. Maybe I could trust them for a little bit. But that doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean everything's okay. It doesn't mean that you and your flesh are sufficient or adequate. It means that the Spirit of the living God that wrote upon your heart and made you his epistle needs to keep on working inside of you and through you to do the work of God.
Amen.
You're not sufficient in your own self.
Amen.
You are kept by God. You know the word adequate. My brother-in-law, and I'm not going to tell you his name because I got two of them, so you'll think, you know, on my wife's side. So that way they can keep guessing. My wife will know who this was, but, you know, when he was a teenager, and we know how teenage boys are, right? They hurry up with everything. Take out the trash. A lot of times, you know, they get it outside the door. You walk outside and say, I told you to take the trash out. I did. Right? They didn't get it to the trash can, right? So his dad, they were getting ready to go on a trip, and he had trained him to change oil. So he went out, and he said, go check the oil, boy, in the car. Go check and make sure it's right. So he went out, and, you know, he had the hood up and everything, and he came back, and his dad said, how was the oil? Was it okay? He said, it was adequate. Well, you know, he went on and they were going on, and his dad started thinking to himself, that's a pretty big word for that boy. Adequate. He said, son, how did you know that the oil was adequate? He said, it said it right on it, adequate. He said, son, that means add a quart. And hey, we'll laugh at that, but you know, a lot of times when we in the Christian life get to a place where we think we're adequate, it's about the time we need to add a quart.
Amen.
It's about the time we need to get back to the Spirit of God and we need to walk with him. Too many times in this life, we are kept by our own methods and methodology instead of kept by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Instead of walking in his word day by day. He goes on and he says in verse 6 that we're enabled by God. He says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Do you know too many times that we've come to a place, there's too many ministers of God that want to preach everything by the letter, when we ought to be preaching in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Old Testament law was to be kept to the letter. You say, what do you mean? I mean, the Old Testament law, if a kid was rebellious against his parents and they brought him before, I mean, they'd take him outside of town and kill him, stone him, because he was rebellious. We don't do that in the New Testament age.
Amen.
I don't know why, but But hey, we're not in the Old Testament. We're here. Listen, the New Testament minister, listen, he needs to come to a place where he realizes that God makes him able. He enables him to do the work. There are told so many times that you will find yourself, they did not teach me this in Bible college. They did not cover this in pastoral theology. How am I supposed to handle this? Go to God. You're His epistle. Say, God, you've got to teach me this. You thought you got it all. No, friend, you're going to go out and you're going to find a situation that you yourself cannot fix. You've not been taught how to handle it, and you need to realize that the same Spirit of the living God that wrote upon your heart and that you're kept by can enable you to do all things through Christ that strengthens you. It's too many times we don't feel enabled. We don't feel like we're able, but you know who does the enabling? The Spirit of the living God. I'm so glad that I'm in the New Testament age, and that's not the letter of the law that killeth, but that I can lean on the Spirit of God. I can let myself, yield myself to Him to be led of the Spirit. And I find myself in places. Listen, tonight, I stand in a place, I'm just an old farm boy preacher. You guys, I sat in the same place you did. I walked and received a degree from the same college that you'll receive a degree from tonight. But that didn't enable me to be the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church. It was realizing that the Spirit of God could use even me if I'd let Him. If I'd allow myself to be kept by God and that I'd walk with God and I'd be enabled by Him, that He could do all, above all that I could ever ask or think in this life. Yes. Folks, I don't know about you. I think about this. You know the last thing? To be the right epistle to Christ, He goes into chapter 4. And I mean, He just takes off. And I'm going to read some of it to you tonight. I don't have a lot of time. But the last point for you tonight is committed to God. Do you know you need to be written by God? You need to be kept by God. You need to be enabled by God. But lastly, you need to stay committed to God. He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." You know, you went to a college that taught you to stick it out when it was tough, to be committed. The Spirit of the living God can take care of you. He can keep you. He can enable you. But that committed spirit, David said, is there not a cause if you're not careful? Because of dishonesty, because of craftiness, because of handling the word of God deceitfully. You know, when you stand in the pulpit and you want to preach a message for people to love you instead of love Christ, you're in trouble. You find yourself trying to preach a sugar stick instead of preaching a message that is led by the Spirit of God. Some of the ones that you'll walk into the pulpit and you feel like you laid an egg, people will cry and be broken because it's just what the Spirit of God ordered up for that day from His Word. Too many times, people use the Word of God deceitfully. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to stay committed to the Lord. This charge this tonight, I mean, you know, we think about what I mean, He says so much in this chapter. Think about this, verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ's sake." Verse 7, He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." There's so much in this chapter to be said of men that will stay committed and ladies that will stay committed to the Lord. He says, then, when we're like that, we are troubled on every side. Don't think that it's going to be easy. Don't leave here and think that just because you serve God and just because you're kept by God, that the sea won't be rough, that people won't give. Listen, they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world's not in love with you either. You're not going to leave here and everybody fall down and worship you because you graduated Bible college. It's going to be rough if you stick to the stuff. He says, "Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Amen. This life. You say, is it tough, preacher? Why do you think he asked you not to faint?
Right.
There's pressures. There's trials. There's persecutions. There's times you feel cast down, always bearing in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's not all sunshine and roses. But there'll come a day when we cross over to the other side that it will be sunshine and roses. There'll be a crystal river. There'll be a judgment seat of Christ. And what you want to hear, because you were written by God and kept by God, enabled by God, and you stayed committed to God and didn't faint, hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, we stand and we preach, and you say, "How am I going to do that, preacher?" The last verse, I'll read the last two verses. Paul says in verse 17 of chapter 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Do you know, I don't know about you, but Hebrews says it this way: looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. This life, you started out by putting your eyes on Jesus Christ, and then coming to a Bible college and saying, "Write upon my heart, Spirit of the living God, the truths of your word. Let me serve you. Let me bear in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the Bible encourages us not to faint, because there's a day that's coming when we'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day, how do I keep my mind right? How do I stay committed? How do I live every day? By looking past all this natural realm and realizing there's spiritual, there's eternal. Do you know, every day, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in the nasty now and now. When I set forth on my journey, and when you set forth on yours, you look to do something eternal with your life. My preacher would say it every so often at my home church, and I have to say it tonight: there's only one life, and it'll soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. He's written upon your heart. He's made you his epistle. Go out and read what he wrote on you to the world, day by day, day by day. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I know that each one of these men and women will look back on this day, the day they graduated from college, and they'll think to themselves, "Lord, boy, I didn't always learn that. I didn't think about that." Lord, I pray that you'd keep them. You've written upon their hearts. You can keep them. You'll enable them, Lord. But I beg you, Spirit of God inside of them, encourage them to stay committed and not faint. We'll ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.